Hi there, I'm Christina Browning, your host.
If you know your home could be so much more than it is, I discuss home functionality, aesthetics, and automation. I'm a realtor in Portland, Oregon, and a home functionality coach. I geek out on every subject imaginable regarding your home and yard, challenging you to think of your space differently to get the most out of every square foot. I pose questions for you to think through about your space and your reason. This podcast is all positive, offering you virtual fist bumps and celebrating every win. Remember, there's no such thing as perfect, but you can still aim for your best every day. Join me on social media by searching for the handle Space and Reason. In this episode, let's discuss home functionality, cleanliness, allergies, and interpersonal relations, all around the subject of taking your shoes off at the door. I recently had a comment on one of my Instagram posts in which I featured some reasons why taking off your shoes at the door is a good idea. The comment read, "Any suggestions of how to ask guests to do this without offending them?" This spurred my hamster to start running about this topic. And then a few days later on the nightly news, I saw a segment about allergens being tracked into homes with shoes, making allergies worse. That's it. I have to do an episode on this. It's fascinating. So many things to think about. So many questions to ask yourself. Removing your shoes before entering a home is common in many cultures and families. Not only does it keep your home cleaner, it also protects your flooring from extra wear. What is important is understanding really how it impacts you, the extra cleaning, your health, and the functionality of your home. Like, do you now have a pile of shoes at the door to fall over? Or do you have a brown cowpath on your carpet from shoes coming inside and walking the same route over and over? Is there significant evidence that going shoeless indoors stops the spread of germs in a home? I found an article by CNN that says, "Absolutely," said Gabriel Filippelli, Chancellor's Professor for the Department of Earth Sciences at Indiana University. "We can track in all sorts of bacteria, but certainly some of the ones we're most concerned about are E. coli that cause severe abdominal cramps, bloody diarrhea, and vomiting," he said. "There's been studies that swab the bottom of shoes, and something like 99% of the shoes test positive for fecal material. This includes canine waste. Your shoes come in contact with bacteria from public bathroom floors. And think about it, then you walk into your house. It is especially a concern in homes where an infant or toddler is crawling around because everything they get on their hands eventually goes into their mouth. However, bacteria are not the only danger that rides along with the dust and dirt surrounding rural and urban homes, gardens, and parks. Studies have shown that in urban areas where there are older homes, lead in dust can be tracked into the home on the surface of shoes. Other studies have shown pesticide residues being tracked in from yards and gardens. Heavy metals like lead, copper, zinc permeate the soils of urban parks and streets, which then also get tracked in. Does someone in your family suffer from allergies or maybe asthma? According to an article by the Association of American Medical Colleges, which I'll link to in the show notes, it reads, Quote, scientists have reported that warming temperatures and other environmental factors have made seasonal allergens such as tree pollen, mold, and other spores worse over the past several decades. Not only are allergens thriving for longer periods than in the past, extending the pollen season by as much as 3 weeks in some parts of North America, they're also reproducing at higher rates, intensifying allergy symptoms for many throughout the longer allergy season. In 2021, 1 in 4 adults and 1 in 5 children, more than 80 million people in the United States reported suffering from seasonal allergies, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. It also explains that the season has gotten longer because warmer temperatures have caused plants to blossom earlier and produce pollen longer than in previous decades. Air pollutants change pollen's elemental composition and damage its surface, making it more allergenic. Pollen is also a common trigger for asthma attacks. I would encourage you to read the entire article linked in the show notes because it goes into greater detail about what pollen can do. According to the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America's annual rankings, the top 5 most challenging cities to live in if you have allergies this year are Wichita, Kansas, Virginia Beach, Virginia, Greenville, South Carolina, and Dallas and Oklahoma City. If you have allergies or asthma, know that wearing shoes in your house is tracking pollen in your house. Generally speaking, if you aren't wearing shoes in the house, there's less being tracked in, and this reduces the amount of it you have to breathe and clean off your floors. Who could handle less to clean in their house? I think most people. Now let's talk about the subject of getting yourself in the habit or the rest of your family on board. I find it most difficult to take my shoes off when it's the weekend and I'm making multiple trips in and out. So to solve this, I got myself slip-on and slip-off shoes, which helps significantly, requiring no tying or bending over. Making sure everyone has a version of this can help them come off more effortlessly at the door. Now let's think about getting guests to take off their shoes at the door. I know this is kind of a loaded question because we all have a weird way that we feel if we have to ask someone to take off their shoes. Honestly, the more I've done it, the less weird I feel about it. If I wanted to start having no shoes be worn in the house, how can I start enforcing this with people who don't do this in their own homes? Well, you can literally share this episode with them. That's super easy. This rings true, especially for people like in-laws, parents, grown children, or other people who may come over fairly regularly and have never had to remove their shoes before. I also love cute signs to let people know this is a no-shoe household. The visual cue that something has changed may be enough on its own for people to remove their shoes. I have had guests literally take off their shoes out on the porch before I even knew they had arrived. Here's a fun idea. As you might imagine, I'm not a fan of souvenirs because it's more stuff you don't need. Unless it's something you actually do need. I saved this concept of buying a shoes off please type sign as something I can buy as a souvenir when we went on our next vacation. I found the cutest mahalo for removing shoes sign when we went to Maui. This rings true for almost any beachy type community with gift shops. Many tourist destinations have these. I waited to find one with a splash of yellow in it to go with my front door. It's mounted directly to my Adirondack chair, which is just to the left of the door. It's featured in this episode's main photo. So if you have a vacation coming up, maybe make that the thing you buy as a souvenir. If you're inviting someone over who is familiar and they aren't the podcast type people, so sending this episode isn't an option, you might have a conversation with them in advance. It's more than just dirt that gets tracked in, so focus there. Like, we're going to try to see if this helps with allergies and keeping the house more clean because I don't want to clean any more than I have to. That sort of thing. Providing washable slippers or non-slip socks can be a thoughtful gesture. The article on CNN reads, "Go to any Asian household or even a Middle Eastern one, and there's often a little cubby right inside the door with washable slippers. You're supposed to take your shoes off there and take the slippers and put those on. You can also let guests know about your no-shoe household before they arrive so they also have the opportunity to come with socks or slippers of their own. You could even do this in a friendly text." And now, let's think about some questions to ask about your home space and your reason. Grab a pen and paper. Question number one. Do I, or could I, have signage to let people know this is a no-shoe household? Step outside. Where could I put it? It doesn't have to be directly next to the door. As I said, ours is mounted on the side of our Adirondack chair that faces the front door. And because it's colorful, most everyone notices it. So where could mine go? What proportion does it need to be? Like more square or round or maybe long? Question number two. Do I or could I have a rug that's a little extra longer that delineates where the front door area is inside, which is big enough for people to also leave their shoes there too? Or could I get a rubber tray for wet shoes during the rainy or snowy season that is a visual indicator that this, if I'm a guest, is where I put my shoes when I take them off? Try to think in terms of what would I think I should do if I had never been here before and I'm a guest. Make it obvious. Question number three. Could I use this as an excuse to freshen up my front door area? If I haven't given any thought to where shoes might go for guests, this could be a great opportunity to also update my vibe and make it all more functional. Maybe an entryway tabletop could hold purses, and underneath could be a shoe shelf. You could even make a little A-frame chalkboard sign that says, "Shoes here." As I mentioned earlier, this could be an opportunity to buy a souvenir to remember your next trip with. Don't just buy a "no shoes, please" sign to check the box. Have patience to find one that you really, really love because you'll keep it for the next 20 years. Choose one that elevates the spot where it resides. If you need to, take a photo of your front door so when you're out in the world, at the store, on vacation, whatever, considering a sign, you can look at the photo on your phone to refresh your memory about scale, about color. Will this fit? Hold the sign up next to the photo on your phone. How do the colors feel together? Is it modern enough? Is it country enough? Is it the right shade of red? I wanted to read a delightful little post from Quora along with a story written by Deanne Santos. She writes, America is huge and almost unimaginably diverse. Whether shoes came off at the door or not depends on many things: prevailing culture, climate, flora and fauna, type of home and entryway, presence or lack of sidewalks, activity level of residents, etc. In Hawaii, with its warm climate and Japanese cultural influence, shoes are often left in a pile outside the door, unmolested. But in some places, those shoes would disappear in 5 seconds flat. In desert areas such as Arizona, unfriendly arachnids and insects can find their way into empty shoes. Better to keep your feet in them. She later tells a story. As I typed this, I flashed back on a childhood memory of a winter evening in Kansas City, Missouri. Our family had attended a Christmas party at a neighbor's home, with mom and dad carrying us two kids through the snow about a foot deep. Mom left her cool overshoes, fur-trimmed boots fashioned to fit over high heels, on the porch during the visit. When we returned home, Dad went right to bed while we got into our pajamas. Before tucking us in, Mom decided the trash needed to be taken to the bin in the far corner of the backyard. A few yards away from the door, she felt something move in her boot. She gave that foot a hard kick. The boot and shoe went flying at least 3 feet, and a dazed and injured mouse crawled out bleeding onto the snow. Mom was absolutely terrified of mice. She stood there like a stork, barefoot raised, shouting for my now snoring dad to come to the rescue. Dad, though, slept like the dead, and we couldn't wake him, so Mom said, "Throw me the broom," hoping to sweep her boot close enough to retrieve. I'm pretty sure she also wanted to whack the mouse to death. Have you ever seen a 6-year-old girl throw a broom? It went about as far as you would expect, flopping into the snow about 2 feet from the doorstep. To my credit, it was at least pointing in the right direction. Mom steeled herself and did a Monty Python-esque silly walk back to the house, leaving the boot and expiring mouse in the snow. And we never left footwear outside in the cold again. End quote. Next, I wanted to share a quote with you by Cheryl Strayed from her book, Brave Enough. Because on occasion, we all come across a highly emotional or maybe explosive type person. It reads, quote, "If someone is being unkind or petty or jealous or distant or weird, you don't have to take it in. You don't have to turn it into a big psychodrama about your worth. That behavior so often is not even about you. It's about the person who's being unkind or petty or jealous or distant or weird. If this were summed up on a bumper sticker, it would say, don't own other people's crap. The world would be a better place if we all did that." End quote. So I was out showing houses earlier today because I'm a realtor. And when I walked into this particular primary bathroom, it had a glass shower door. And in the shower drain was the very same flower-shaped hair catcher that I have and that I love. This gave me confidence that the owners of this particular home keep up on their maintenance and are aware that more hair than you might imagine ends up down the drain, clogging them up. When we pull up the drain chain, it's often full of hair with conditioner or other products clinging to it. It makes me gag. However, these little drain wigs prevent it from continuing down the pipes until there is a turn and it gets caught, causing a backup. They're quite literally less than $10 and they last years. If you don't have one and you have the shower drain where the drain actually pops up for you to clean it out, they are so helpful. I'll link to them in the show notes. All that to say, when is the last time you checked your shower drains? Just a reminder, so it's on your radar. We just did ours, and I just, so gross, but it's one of those necessary things. If you'd like more of this kind of content, you can subscribe to Little Bits, my weekly newsletter about home functionality. It has a short video and a thought for you to think through about your space and your reason. Expect short but close inspections of home details, and as usual, I pose questions for you to think through. Find the link in the podcast notes. If you happen to know someone in the market to buy or sell in the greater metro Portland, Oregon area, kindly send them my way. The finest compliment I could receive is the confidence of your referral. Because when you buy a home with a realtor who is also a home functionality coach, you get the added value of an expert to think through how the space can be used to its best and highest potential, specific to the needs, passions, and values of your family. If you haven't listened to episode 5 yet, it has a fond place in my heart because it's all about tackling the space that doesn't get used in your home. I pose questions to really think through each of your spaces and evaluate if they're being used to their best and highest potential. If you haven't had a listen yet or it's been a while, check back in on episode 5. Sometimes our lives shift and we're experiencing a different season with kids that have left the house, or maybe you had a baby or twins. Maybe you have parents living with you now. This is a great time to reevaluate your space with episode 5. Thanks for sitting in on this conversation about creating a home that thrives. If you haven't had a chance, please rate this episode. It sure does help people to know that this is a podcast worth their time. I'll meet you back here for the next episode.